Becky Viesenier Burisk had an unusual childhood.
I remember being in first grade and, you know, being in the morgue while Dad worked. I just turned 15 in 1966 when the tower shooting happened.
Burek's father was Charles Villasenor. In 1966, he was in his mid-30s. He owned a funeral home in Austin, Mission Funeral Home. Now, this isn't headed where you think it is. Villasenor did not just care for the dead that day. On August 1st, he very much cared for the living.
In the 1960s, half of the ambulances in the country were actually operated by funeral homes.
Rick Narrett is a professor at California State University, Chico. Back in the 60s, operating an ambulance meant getting an injured person to the hospital. Nothing more.
Get the patient from the scene to a higher level of care. And we didn't really worry that much about any medical treatment during that time.
And that's exactly what was on Villasenor's mind that Monday. The family had recently gotten a two-way radio. It was on in the office. Here's Villasenor's daughter again.
You know, the call came in. It was kind of like a police scanner as well, that there was a shooting down at the university at the tower.
Her father jumped up.
I'm going to go down there.
He grabbed one of his workers.
They put on their white jackets and they were out the door.
Villasenor was one of the first ambulance operators on scene. They grabbed the wounded and took them to Breckenridge Hospital, the only trauma center in the city at the time. These funeral home workers had little medical training.
You know, he was just a mortician.
And 1966 was the year it was decided that was not enough. The National Academy of Sciences released a paper surveying emergency services across the country. And training for ambulance operators began to change. Here's Rick Narrett again.
It found that, among other things, the equipment wasn't very good, the training was minimal, if non-existent, and we didn't do anything really to coordinate all the different providers.
Government and private entities reacted, and we slowly began to see the EMS system we know today.
Here in Austin, we started our department in 1976.
Keith Noble's a commander with the Austin-Travis County EMS. Paramedics now undergo nearly a year of training. They can provide medical care on the way to the hospital. But they also train alongside police officers.
Over the last few years, we've been focusing on active shooter training pretty extensively with our field and command staff.
Noble says in these cases, they're focusing on potentially life-saving procedures, stopping bleeding, starting CPR. It's a sophisticated model compared to 66, when there was no protocol for something like this. A sharpshooter picking off victims. Civilians, officers, and funeral home directors with little direction, but lots of heart.
There's not a whole lot of people that really have the ability to face that and to help other people through it.
Burisk says her dad never talked much about that day. But look through a 1966 cover article in Life magazine, and you can just make him out. Back to the photographer, helping a man into the rear of his ambulance. It looks like a hearse with emergency lights on top. On the back of his coat, you can barely make out the word, mission. I'm Audra McGlinchey for the Texas Standard.